Okay, cool. What are we doing this week?
Gary, let's go through this door. I'm going to show you a part of my house that nobody's ever seen before. It's just for me and you.
The bathroom. Ooh la la.
Is that a
closet? Finally getting the other side of the curtain of Cole's strict no shitting at his house policy.
Which is funny because that defaults me to public restrooms, which you think would be anathema.
Yeah, well, I mean, other people don't get to shit in your house.
Okay, there we go.
Is the way I was imagining it. Like, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'm a grown-ass man. Oh, but I visit your house, I gotta shit in the bathtub like a common scrub.
Sorry, you got me with that. But no, okay, so let's put in the keypad here. Gary, welcome to my anime figurine room.
Ooh.
Yes, I've hidden this part of me forever, but everybody
nice
must know.
Waifu.
Yeah, which one? I have several.
Nice harem of waifus.
Yes, yes. Each of them brings something different to the household. However, I'm going to take this bouncy Super Ball, and in a rare fit of destruction, I'm going to throw it around and see which figurine it knocks over.
I'm glad that you're doing this.
That will determine.
Did you have like some kind of epiphany?
The healing process has to start somewhere, Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, you can't collect all these guys.
Yeah. So here we go.
Okay.
Whoa. No.
Nope.
All right. Let's go over here. See what it knocked over. It is
Evangeline. Yes.
Evangeline. that was actually just a side effect. Maybe we'll do that one later. But the one it hit first was the guy from Fist of the North Star.
Oh, Johnny Fist.
Yeah, Johnny Fisto.
Yeah. Fuck.
Fads. It's really hard to muster up any feeling at this point. I'm so sad about my anime.
Yeah. It's hard for me to muster up feelings in general.
It's a real problem.
Yeah. It is I'm, as I say, comfortably numb.
And hedonic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross feeling nothing.
This is Abject Suffering, the show about nothing. The show about destroying all of your anime. Anime Gate. We're coming for it.
We are actively supporting the Baname.
Yeah, exactly. Mom's against anime. And we're talking about Fist of the North Star.
Yeah.
A Nintendo game.
Which is for NES. Why are you here?
Yeah. why were you made? Who suggested this?
I accidentally closed that tab, so I'm going to stall for time by reminding people they can go to duckfeed.tv/abject suffering.
Hey, why not go to patreon.com/...
Let's get that out of the way at the start. No, this is Brian Castellano.
Hey, Brian. Does he say anything, or is it just...
It's a little bit lengthy, but he talks about how he got it for $1 at a GameStop, which should tell you how bad it is.
Mm.
Yeah. And then he goes on to describe the game. But that's our job, Brian.
Yeah. So Fist of the North Star, based on an anime, apparently. Don't know anything about the anime. The game is like, you are a lanky fella. You walk to the right, punching guys until they explode into stars, until you get to the third level and you can't advance. And then you quit the game. And that's what Fist of the North Star is about.
That happened to you too?
Yeah, I don't know where to go. Once you get to the traitor concentration camp.
Way to go, guys.
Yeah.
You did a bad job.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's nice and respectful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, they forgot.
Never forget.
Yeah.
And then like, I just didn't know where to go.
No.
Like, I'm like, this game is not hard.
No.
It's not fun. And I can't advance in it.
Yeah.
It is just a lump.
It stymies all kinds of progress, either toward understanding it or just even finishing it. Like, I don't know if that's just how it ends. That might be, you know, how people talk about, you know, the real ending of Skyrim as you decide to stop playing Skyrim.
Yeah. You know? The real ending of Fist of the North Star is you get to the third level and decide to stop playing. There are other levels. I'm looking at the different stages on GameFAQs right now. And yeah, there are levels afterwards that are not as fun, you know, not as funly translated. Even though you do fight, oh, it's Jacko. I thought it was Jackio. Because Jackio is like the bad guy in like something good. And Jackio is like the bad guy in some game I remember. I just have Jeremy Parrish's voice in my head saying I don't know what it's from.
Yeah.
Some game.
Yeah.
That's the kind of insight you're
also the nation's first lady.
Yeah, Jackio.
Yeah.
And the basis of Dr. Girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the smoker's voice.
Yeah, the smoker's voice. The widow. This.
Well, wait, is Dr. Girlfriend a widow?
No.
Okay. No. I was going to say, there's more backstory to her than was let on.
The here from the Game Facts entry for this game, it has a section at the end called Ways to Make This More Fun. And it says, now that you finished this awful game, you're probably asking yourself, what was I thinking? Ho, ho, ho. My poor friend, if you bought that game, then I pity you and your poor soul. I also have some property in Florida I could sell you.
This, okay, yeah, this is the guy, this fucker. This fucker, this fucking fack. God damn it, Gary.
Yep.
He talks like a fedora lord.
Yeah, this is, he's, well, wait until you get to these suggestions here. So here are his suggestions. Making this more fun. Whenever you punch someone, yell out ta 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 in a high pitched voice, just like Kenshiryu. Have members of your family or friends do the same. Whenever I punch this guy, would you go, like Kenshiryu? When faced with a boss you're about to beat, say you're already dead. Try exploding someone near you. Go play another game. Live a live is pretty good. Live a live. Go wash your car, go outside, try to play Heroes of the Lance. I heard Strom's mustache is really awesome. Yell, a winner is you every time you beat the boss. If you have other ideas, feel free to tell me. Let's mob this guy with awesome ideas. pretty serious thank you section on this fact, too.
Oh, boy.
It took a lot for him to get here. But, yeah.
Oh, man. Suggestions. Every morning, open palm slam a Fist of the North Star VHS into the...
Yeah, exactly. While yelling a meme at your mom.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, your VHS are belong to us.
You have one job, Mom.
Yeah. Just,
Oh, man. This, like, seriously, I was hate reading this FAQ.
Yeah. Ass Plagueis. His name.
Wait, like Ass Plagueis, like from Resident Evil 4?
Yeah, it's Asplagus.
Asplagus.
Yeah.
Asplagus. Let's hear. Reasons for this walkthrough. So, why a walkthrough? Simple. Because the game traumatized me.
The first thing to do is a rhetorical device whenever you... Webster's defines walkthrough as...
I was a young and nubile. I was young. I was once young and nubile. Not what you think it means.
Yeah.
Innocent days they were indeed. And as I stood before the addictive light of the television set, living grandiose adventures through the video games such as Castlevania, sadly, this game took my innocence and ran away with it into the night, leaving me bitter and disgruntled. It looks simple enough. You're a buff martial artist who punches people and they explode. That's the sort of concept that appeals to a preteen boy, you know.
Though today, with advanced technology in the world of emulation, I control the game. Blah, ha, ha, ha. I hate this motherfucker.
Yeah, like, this writing style. Hey, fuckers, stop it.
Yeah, this is really rough.
Like this is painful.
Yeah, this is pretty bad. There's also a very long essay in the beginning that introduces you to Hokuto no Ken and his games. And it's really intense. Like, this is a very long essay about Fist of the North Star games.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in that, don't read this. So if you're interested in that, don't be interested in that.
Yeah. But like this. So when I say Fedora Lord, that isn't just lol, Duck Feet hates MRAs. This is that kind of overly florid language with way too many rhetorical devices and miniature digressions. Like, I can just picture like that one fucker, the guy who looks like Kane from Command and Conquer.
Yeah. The bad guy from Command and Conquer who's doing the anti-feminist frequency movie.
Yeah. Just like reading this out loud as he has a John Waters cigarette like in his hand directly to the camera.
Yeah, that's exactly that speaking and style of rhetoric.
Yeah.
I'd say that's exactly what it is.
It's just the most obnoxious and slimy shit. Stop it. This isn't good.
Have you ever done I'm not recommending this or anything, but have you ever watched any of that guy's other videos?
Yeah, like Why Blacks Fail.
Yeah, it's excruciating. Yeah, it's like it is. He is so hard to look at and listen to, and and such a ridiculous piece of shit.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna say what his name is. Like, you know what he is if you know what we're talking about. But like, just that level of condescension. It is talk about being immobilized by slime. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. It's part of a thing. Like, I linked a thing on Facebook about the guy because he's part of this like neo-rationalist movement.
who admires fascism.
Yeah, admires fascism and also have been known to blog, or they mostly blog or something like that. Says in the rational wiki entry for them. But that's one of their things. Is this kind of delivery? It's like, well, perhaps like everybody wants to give a villain speech.
Yeah,
like that's the kind of speaking style, like purple prose, Magneto in the 80s villain speech, village speech, villain speech,
village speech.
Yeah, village speech. You know, like, I was, not going to do a village speech.
Nope.
Yeah.
I was wondering what that would entail. I was actually leading you right into that.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah. No, but like, and I'm not opposed to a turn of phrase, like, but just don't cover it in smarm.
Well, it's also the fact that there's so many words saying so little. Like, it's just a lot of, like, twirling and twinkling around a point without actually just being direct. Like, people who have never understood that conciseness is you know, the most important rule to everything that ever was.
Strong and white, dog.
Yeah. So yeah, this fact writer is a piece of shit, like, reviewing this guy.
Yeah.
Well, this is our sister podcast where we just review guys who write facts.
Well, I mean, that's always been, like, ever since the first episode, just, like, assassinating people on game facts. That's part of our MO.
Yeah, these people are shits.
Yeah. Man, I need to close this because I'm just going to keep on looking for passages.
The game itself is like not that terrible. It's a little bit like Kung Fu or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of go to one direction and punch guys and they die really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's pretty bland bosses every once in a while. And then you get the second level, which has a maze, which is a little bit frustrating, but you can get through it.
Yeah.
And then you get the third level and it's a concentration camp and your hopes and dreams die there.
Which Taxan just took an exploratory toe dip into serious gaming.
Yeah. It is no good.
No,
it's
no good.
Why people like this anime, and it's just about a big muscle guy running around punching people until they blow up.
Yeah,
so I can get that. But like, let's since we can't really talk about Fist of the North Star anymore, given that like there's nothing else really to say about it. You jump really high, which I like.
Yeah,
but then you press up to jump, which I don't like.
Right. Apparently there's a fireball attack, but I've never figured out how to activate it. The fact that this guy, he took about, he opens up his section on the controls by saying, I don't really feel like reiterating the manual to you, but just for the sake of brevity, here's this. Like, fuck you.
That's what you're going to do. You've never done anything for the sake of brevity.
It's like, I guess you press both buttons, but and they attack
when you're powered up, because like every once in a while you kill somebody and a power up floats out of them and you have to jump up to get it.
I noticed a correlation between if I killed somebody with punches as opposed to kicks, I got stars. So I think that like he has the god hand or whatever, which again talks about this weird Japanese mono myth where most of the stuff goes back to, you know, one of three stories.
Yeah. But the I couldn't figure out how to do power fireballs. I couldn't figure out how to do very much. Like, your jump kicks are not very useful.
No.
But it's not like a terrible game. Like, I played worse games before.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit like Legend of Kage or something like Kage, a little bit. But let's talk about anime. Because that's what this is based on, and we don't have anything else to say about Fist of the North Star.
Right.
So yeah, why because we don't like anime very much. Yeah. Have you spent very much time like examining why like this whole weird dork field is just closed off to you? Like, what's the first time you remember, like, what's the first negative association you remember with anime?
I remember liking, like, Dragon Ball Z and Gundam Wing, especially, because they hit Toonami right around the time I was in, like, fifth and sixth grade, which is the golden age for anime, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that after Gundam Wing ran out and they started, like, bringing over the old ones, which are just a little bit more inscrutable than that. Like, it's a little bit less high school-y, but just kind of, like, a little bit too self-serious. I think that, like, when I noticed that there was this whole brand of very self-serious anime was when I started, you know, thinking, you know what, maybe this might not be for me because I'm not into the intense badass part of it. And also, yeah. Like, I outgrew the, like, the crazy, goofy, like, let's talk about underpants humor of Dragon Ball Z, right? Like, yeah. So like, when they ran out of anime that was, like, specifically designed at somebody, like, you know, for me, like, especially aimed at me, then it became like, oh, I can see all the holes in this. So I fell out of love with it, with that kind of anime, you know, very early on. And then when I started learning, you know, knowing more about animation, it's like, oh, this is just, like, really cheap.
it's like a disposable kind of pop culture thing.
Yeah,
you know, for the most part, it's not like it. And there are some animes that I like, and there's some that are good.
Like How Wimpy Bop is great. I like the Berserk movies that came out here recently. Yeah. You know, I don't like most anime. I don't think that I paint at all with like a blah, this sucks. The tropes bother me.
I think that's what I was trying to get at, because it hasn't really happened where no one's ever been like, you fuckers don't like anime, but I'm always expecting it because I know a lot of people who are real into anime, you know, including people I like a lot and everything, and we talk some shit about it, but it really is like it's those kind of tropes that are kind of like obnoxious to me. I think like I just want the best of it, and 90% of everything is crap. I get that, but like anime, I guess part of the cultural divide makes it harder to tell apart. Like, not in a racist way, but just in a, like, it's very easy to lump it as one thing where there are multiple genres within it, just because it has a lot of it has a similar aesthetic.
Yeah.
So, like, you never know whether you're going to get some of these obnoxious tropes or you're going to get something that actually kind of transcends it and is good.
And, you know, I think that high school thing actually speaks a lot to it, too. Like, during this weekend episode, I made a couple of references to like, oh, an anime about high schoolers who do, you know, who do crosswords or whatever, which is pretty close to being an actual thing. And so just kind of like, let's take a profession and add high schoolers and make it about a mystical tournament. And that seems to be about 80% of what I see.
Yeah. And there's a lot of that.
And it's, you know, it's something that's kind of made me fall out of love with the Ace Attorney series, because it started out as this kind of like goofy courtroom story and turned into like here are law room battles, you know, courtroom battles, you know, with this crazy cast of characters, all of whom have like their little law gimmick, you know, like, as it falls into formula, you start to see that it really does end up being paint by numbers, you know.
There's also like a very specific way that like I feel like young, like specifically young women are portrayed in anime as kind of like a goofy stereotype where they're constantly fretting that I find really annoying.
Yeah.
Like there are like, you know, there's tons of like strong women in anime, but like this idea of like the little like, nah! And then like the tear floating down and constantly like biting your nails. And like, there's like that a really exaggerated, you know, always worried stereotype for young women that like, I find just really annoying.
Yeah.
In anime. Yeah. Like, just like, I don't know, just like, just do it or just, you know, say it or just, you know, senpai's not going to bite your head off. Like, just, just go for it, you know, and it's not cute and it's not compelling or anything like that. Yeah. That's the thing I associate with a lot of anime.
And even when a woman is portrayed as, you know, powerful, at least in the instances that I've seen, it's always in, you know, it's always in relation to a dude, right? So there's the notion of tsundere.
Yeah.
You know, where like, oh, this is a really fickle lady who will be nice to you one second and mean to you the next. And boy, that is her defining trait. She can't decide how she feels.
Right.
Like not to, you know, not to take this into like, feminist theory, which I'm not qualified at all to speak to, really, aside from I know how I feel about it. But it's just a little bit like, I don't know. And that speaks to a larger like dehumanization of people, because like it seems like it's catered to a, you know, to make characters fit into very predictable patterns at the expense of any kind of like texture. Right.
Right. And those patterns are all part of like just this rich, like those are archetypes in a culture that is not ours.
Yeah.
You know, it's like those things kind of just make more of a sense, I think. And I can never really get over that. Like, again, it's one of those things like, you know, bring me the best of it and I will enjoy it. And there are things to enjoy even about things I'm not that crazy about. Like, I like Akira, but I don't, like, because there are cool things about it. But then there are also things I think are kind of dumb about it, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just say it's just a weird, like, it's so huge. Like, it's such a big thing. And then, like, on, you know, a bunch of my Twitter friends and everything are just super huge into it.
Yeah.
Love this shit. And it's such a big, like, not blind spot, like, just, like, a disinterest spot.
Yeah.
Well, that we share.
I mean, it just kind of seems to be, I am exceedingly willing to just look at something and say, not for me, you know? So
yeah,
any kind of like, you know, if it seems like I'm lashing out at your favorite animes, listener, it's really, I'm just expressing not hatred, but just aggressive disinterest.
Yeah. Usually not for me.
Yeah.
And same for me.
Yeah.
So glad we have that talk.
That very serious talk.
Well, it's like so much of like what we do on all of our shows is influenced by, by Japanese culture and anime. Like it's such a big thing.
Yeah.
That is just a weird, like, a whole like part of it that like I'm just not very into, and it's worth examining.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I was about ready to say like American cartoons that are aimed at similar groups. I was about to say like, oh, I don't like that. But like Adventure Time is one of my favorite shows, which you could see that as this kind of crazy, you know, Western analog to an anime. Right.
I don't know if I agree with that. Like, yeah. I think that Adventure Time is much more like a self-aware. Like, I think that like a lot of the anime that people have a lot of nostalgia for, like similar to Fist and the North Star, was more disposable kind of pop culture. Like it'd be closer to something like G.I. Joe, you know, or something like, or like Ninja Turtles, whereas like Adventure Time is much more nuanced. And I hope I don't sound like I'm just saying that because I like the that. I don't.
Yeah.
But it's like that show is, you know, really evolving and stuff. Like it's not as heavily focused on archetype. Like there's tons of character development in that show. There's probably more character development in Adventure Time than any cartoon that I can think of.
Yeah. Yeah. I picked that show because it is kind of a sacred cow. I mean, you to me, like I will to a certain extent brook no criticism of it.
Yeah.
Like it is, I will actually, that is one of the few things where I will jump out and say, well, actually, no, this is like really stupid good, but it falls into a similar, you know, motivation to me as a lot of anime that I see, which is it's aimed at a younger audience, but it's made by and for like an older audience, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, what Adventure Time lacks is kind of the condescension, the crassness, because a lot of anime is marketing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And though there is a lot of Adventure Time merchandise, I don't see it as explicit, you know, like that isn't the goal, apparently.
Right. And it's never part of the actual product itself.
Right.
It's just like you can go to adultswim.com and or cartoonnetwork.com and play the Adventure Time MOBA or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're not like, it's not like the characters are just sitting around talking about it in the show.
Right.
So,
although I would play the hell of that Magic the Gathering analog.
Yeah, you can.
Really?
It's on iPhone.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Card Wars there's an iOS Card Wars.
God damn. Yeah. I heard an interesting, this came up on an episode of Video Games Hot Dog, that, what is it, the Doom Train episode or whatever, or Demon Train? Like that, that as a very heavily veiled metaphor for falling into playing video games because of depression.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
That like Jake had suffered. I forget exactly what happened before that episode, but like he was just like, yeah, I need to be in here and killing these demons for a while. I'll be done soon, but just let me do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, it has, you know, very affecting stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really top notch.
Yeah. Did the 3DS Adventure Time game end up being any good? The Zelda 2 one?
It's a little too easy.
Yeah,
like it's fun and it looks good and everything, but like I think it's kind of too easy to play. Like it's not, you know, there's no it's too easy. So it's kind of fun, like it's worth picking up like used and stuff. I bought it new because it came with a little case that looked like the Incanridian. Yeah. So I have the Incanridian on my shelf, which I like. Yeah. But
what is the correlation between anime avatars and horseshit people?
It's funny that you bring that up because that's part of what was making me think about this. Just a lot of horseshit people like anime, but a lot of like people who are good people are doing this like take back anime avatar thing. Like, I don't know how ironically, but it's made my Twitter feed a bewildering nightmare that I can't tell anyone apart because everything is like my eyes. I'm just like anime blind. Like I just gloss over it.
You're right.
When I see like, oh, it's an anime avatar, I don't need to pay attention to that. But it's like, oh, it's actually like this person who I'm interested in, who I like. So
yeah, so here's a weird thing. I feel like most of anime is designed for people who are face blind. Insofar as the key distinguishing features for a lot of characters are either hair color, hairstyle, or like very noticeable scars or tattoos. Like everything has kind of the same facial structure, which is obviously a stylistic decision. But like I've heard, I've heard some. Let's see here. Theories are, you know, read some of the stuff when people are talking about like, oh, you know, My Little Pony or whatever, the you know, the Brony thing, or like Disney and Sonic, which is like those actually appeal to people who are on the spectrum because they're like the emotional signifiers are so out there and because everything is based on a pattern. So like, I don't want to come out here and say that everybody who likes anime is on the spectrum. That's entirely not what I'm saying, but I could actually see a kernel of truth as to why that would be the case, because it really is just like, you know, mix and match Mr. Potato Head parts around like what a character is and what that signifies.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's an interesting idea. I can see that because it is like really outsized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about Fist of the North Star? Did you ever watch it or know anything about it?
No, it's one of those animes that has always been, you know, kind of like rested in the background. Like I kind of put it in the same camp as like Ninja Scroll, insofar as I know that it's a foundational anime work that I have no interest in watching. So
yeah.
So like I've been aware of it and kind of how it fits into like, you know, weird different parts of mythology, and I know that it's heavily referenced. But like I think I would be, if I were to dive into like a classic anime that was not Berserk, it would probably be JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and not this. So
yeah, I have no interest in this.
Yeah,
and just I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry now and none of it sounds cool to me.
Yeah, it just seems, I don't know, like even the characters look like G.I. Joe. That's a very apt comparison.
Yeah. And that's the thing about, you know, when I was thinking about comparing like a lot of the disposable anime culture to G.I. Joe, is like, yes, I liked G.I. Joe as a kid, but it doesn't stand up. Like, I'm not going to watch an episode of G.I. Joe now. Like, if you ever watch a G.I. Joe, they're bad. It was a bad thing designed to sell us toys. Whereas, like, anime is just kind of, maybe it's the novelty of it being from another culture, but it just kind of stands up. Like, it was made for kids there. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, necessarily made for adults, but, like, people just kind of get into those tropes and everything because they're not, you know, even though it's not that different from your Transformers and your G.I. Joes.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, it doesn't, a lot of the stuff doesn't stand up for me.
No. This has probably been the least funny episode of our show.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. It's a serious question because, you know, this is a great example of, you know, of a game that is, you know, of that ilk. And we often, you know, we'd almost be doing it a disservice because when we play a Wayne's World game, we spend most of our time talking about the Wayne's World movies.
Exactly.
Right? You know,
like, so that's why, like, I mean, I knew I was like playing Fist of the North Star. I'm like, well, you get to the third level, you can't continue. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, there's nothing else to talk about with the game.
Yeah.
And we don't know the anime. So then I thought, like, why don't we know the anime? You know, and that was like, that was the only place I could go.
If I can say one final thing about the game itself, though, I wish that they would have taken a little bit of detail out of the backgrounds and put it into the character sprites.
Yeah.
Because the backgrounds are very heavily, like, almost over-illustrated. But the character sprites, like, you have, like, three colors. They're just big, broad blobs of color.
One
no
of the
features.
Worst things about the background over detailing is how many doors there are that you can't go into.
Yeah,
like it's all constant like NES style doors that you should press up to be able to go into, but you can't.
No. In fact, to go into a door, you have to hold both A and B and then press a direction.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Ugh.
Yeah. Sorry about not, you know, this not being a funny episode of the show. Everyone who's listening to it.
Yeah. And if you like anime, I hope we didn't hurt your feelings. I really don't hold that much against it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's just kind of worth talking about because that's the subject matter of this, a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I'm surprised we didn't have that conversation during the Berserk run of Bonfireside Chat.
Berserk was good.
Yeah.
Like, I think that like it was just like we could talk about Berserk because we were experiencing it. And like if we like read the Fist of the North Star comic, like we could talk about that, too.
Yeah.
But we just don't have any experience with this thing that's, you know, apparently huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fist of the North Star. It punches like a cat and is anime as hell.
Yeah. Punches like a cat, anime as hell.
Yeah. Been a while since we threw that one in.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a while.
It took you a second. Now we know exactly how fast Gary's brain's working today.
I'm sleepy. So what are we doing next time?
Well, next time we're gonna be doing The Rocketeer. Which I can't talk about.
Yeah, look forward to us having a long conversation about the golden age of film, about Pulp Fiction, why we never got into Doc Savage.
Yep.
If you wanna listen for more half-hearted, sleepy, you know, navel-gazy bullshit, check into that episode.
No, if you want to hear a half hour of me talking about Howard fucking Hughes.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And if you have other games to suggest to us, we won't turn every one of them into a slog. I promise. I mean, go to ducky.tv/abject suffering.
That would be a little bit more charitable to us. This isn't exactly a slog.
I know. I feel a little embarrassed now that we're done with it. You know, that wasn't funny. We catfished people. It's just like, it's meta. We were talking, it's the, people came to this because they had a cool ninja on the cover. And actually it was this, like, it's, that was the intention all along, was to do to people what, Highlight did to me as a kid.
Oh so, man, the cycle continues.
Yep. Exactly. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, duckfeed.tv/abject suffering, grab that widget, suggest games.
Yeah. We appreciate that. Fun little fact, as of the time we record this, we have 190 unused unique suggestions.
Yeah.
Which means that if the tap stopped, we'd have 4 years worth of shows.
Yep. But keep it fresh. Yeah, like, Keep adding things, because we do them randomly, and it's fun to have more things to choose from.
Yeah.
And you can do all the normal stuff like ratings and reviews on iTunes and tell your friends.
Yeah.
And go to our Patreon.
For sure. And if you're going to be in the Portland area, the Pacific Northwest, around October 18th or 19th, we're going to be doing a live episode of Watch Out for Fireballs. If you're listening to this show, you probably already listened to that show, but I wanted to throw it in just in case there's one or two of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're doing it about Street Fighter 2, which means you can look forward to a half hour of discussion about violence in America and about the history of street fighting.
Yeah.
The what exactly is a street fighter? Webster's defines street fighter as. I think what happened was I saw this game facts too on this guy. I'm like, oh, we can spend some time making fun of this piece of shit. But then we both got too angry about Gamersgate stuff.
Yeah.
To turn it into that. So like, there are two different ways this could go digressively, and neither of which were funny. Yeah. And one was angry and one was contemplative. So,
well, you know, so if we indulge those demons now, they won't be as hungry next time.
That's true. That's totally true.
So, Umbasa.
Umbasa.